We'll start. Father, we commit this class into your hand, and as we will be discussing very much the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and his power and dynamic and ability to do so much for us, open our eyes this morning that we might get a good glimpse of that inner potential and dynamic that lives with every believer. And may we be more and more, may we release him more and more in our life and experience more of his presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we'll go 50 minutes, so it's good about almost to 10. Okay, take your book and open to page 6. And I just started sharing the other day about this homey illustration. Came about when I read my daily guide my brother gave me, and one of the verses was, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truths and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." I got in the habit, figuratively, just don't ask me why, of figuratively putting my hand in his hand. I did that for just about 4 years, all the while I was in the army. Every day, I started the day with him, regardless of where I was, barracks or out in camping or wherever, marching. I could talk to the Lord and review my verses and just have a great time. And that was 1941, so that's about 51 years ago. And to this day, I start every day the same way, bringing God right down into the life. He lives in us. Why not recognize that presence more and more? Now, you know, over the weekend, I was just reviewing this, and I thought about the hand again, and in 1 Chronicles 4:10, there's a passage tucked in just around, among a lot of genealogies. You could miss it very easily. It talks about so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so and had two wives or whatever. 1 Chronicles 4:10, and this verse just pops out. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it should not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Does it change much in the mark in the, what do you have, the NIV?
I have the RSV, very similar.
Here he is, calls on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." And every one of us want God's blessing on our life. "And enlarge my coast." Now, you'll have to decide what that means, but through the years, I've been encouraged to believe that God will give us a greater responsibility if we allow him to work more deeply in our lives. "And thine hand might be with me." I like that. You know, God had a hand in it. I want him to have a hand in everything that I do. "That you'd keep me from evil." Oh, boy. I pray every day that God will keep me from doing things that hurt him or hurt anybody else. "That it might not grieve thee." Surely we don't want to grieve me or thee. And then God granted him that which he had requested. I like that. He granted him. And so God does answer prayer. And that's a good one. You might want to use that in devotional sometime. I think it's a good little thought. Now, if you don't get anything else out of the next hour or two, I pray that you realize more and more the Holy Spirit living in you. I am not a charismatic in the sense of belonging to a charismatic church, but I believe every believer ought to be charismatic. That is alive in the Spirit.
Amen.
If we don't, we're going to be like duds. You know what a dud is? A dud is something that doesn't work. It's a dud. And the Holy Spirit gives us a dynamic and a power. Good morning, Doris. Someone can share with her that verse I opened with this morning. I want to put on the board, and if you'd like to, you notice, look at my page. I just keep looking and looking and thinking and praying, and God will bring something else along. On the top of the page, I want you to just write the word Holy Spirit, but write small enough because I'm going to give you about 8 or 9 verses that deal with the Holy Spirit. There are a lot more. Study it sometime, but these are real basic verses that deal with the Holy Spirit. And, boy, I don't know if I'm going to get over here or not. Bring this. Have I got a little more room now?
You got some more room.
Okay. Top of the page. Put down John 14:26. And put down teacher. Now, I don't know if you want to look up all of these, but I'll give them to you, and then we'll look at some of them later. But this, you know, in John 14, where Jesus said, I'm going to leave you. And they were really down in the dumps about him leaving. But he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. John 14:16, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. And he will be with you how long? Forever. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit called the Counselor. That's great. We have a wonderful counselor. I like to think of him as our psychiatrist. You know, if you have a problem, go to the counselor. And Psalm 119, I'll give you a couple of verses. The psalmist said, Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. So here we have the counsel or the counselors, and the Holy Spirit is our psychiatrist or the one who gives us counsel. Because he knows the whole book. He wrote it. You have a problem? Look over here. Look over there. I go to my psychiatrist and say, boy, I'm full of anxieties. I don't know what's wrong with me. And my psychiatrist, the Holy Spirit, says, well, let me write you out a little bit of a suggestion here, like the doctor would. There was a man by the name of Paul, and he had all kinds of problems. I mean, he was shipwrecked, he was imprisoned, he was beaten. Did he ever have problems? Tell you what Paul found to be a help. Philippians 4:6-7. Take this prescription every day for a month and go over it. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Another day. Oh, boy, I tell you what. The roof's falling in on me. I've got all kinds of things happening that just are hard. Just afflictions on every hand. Well, my psychiatrist, the counselor, says, I'll tell you what, there was a young man by the name of David. He was the king of Israel, yet he was chased by the armies of Saul. He lived in a cave a lot of the time. He lived in the woods, running from Saul. But this young man really had a good relationship with God. And he could write a psalm. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He could write a psalm. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's Psalm 34:19 and Psalm 55:22. And so, the counselor, I like to think of him as a psychiatrist in a way, God's psychiatry. God's healing, his ability to heal. And the Word of God is our counsel. Isn't that right? Everything I need to know from God is right there. And it deals with every possible situation in life. So, this verse says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and remind you and bring all things to your remembrance. Beautiful. He not only teaches, but he reminds. Over here, Romans 8:14. He's a guide. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And so the Holy Spirit is a wonderful guide day by day. And something that's helped me a great deal, Proverbs 16:3. I suppose you students get overloaded and your mind gets so clogged many times and you don't know what to do next. This verse in Proverbs says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Just a few moments sometime when you got 7, 8, 10 things to do, sit down and begin to prioritize them. It's not long before 1, 2, 3, 4, wow, the things that are driving up almost up the wall, you can take care of many of them in just a telephone call or a walk across the hall, just like that. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is a wonderful guide to help us put things in a good priority. Then, Romans 8:16. I don't know a better word for this. I'm trying to give them all one-liners. Testifies. Testifies. Said the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. It's that inner witness of the Spirit that you belong to God. You are born again. You're born from above. You are regenerated. And that's that wonderful assurance that he gives me, testifies you are one of God's chosen people. You're my child. And so that's a beautiful thing too, to give me that inner word of assurance daily. So he testifies. And then we come to Romans 8:26, he prays. I don't understand all of this, but I thank God. It says the Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. A lot of times we don't know how to pray, really, but God knows what's on our heart, Daniel. And that's what the Holy Spirit tells God. Now, Daniel may not be able to express it the way he wants it, but I know his heart, and this is what he's trying to say. And wonderful how the Holy Spirit can talk to God for us and say things. This is what it says. Listen. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Probably comes out a lot better than some of the other translations, but I'm sorry, this is a book I've studied all my life. And now, and God that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. So God searches our hearts. He understands all the imaginations of our will. William, do you know that? 1 Chronicles 29:8-10, when David was handing over the mantle to his son Solomon, he said, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and he understands the imaginations of the thoughts. And that's something, you know, we think we can hide from God, hide things from him. That's about as foolish as you can be. He knows all that we're doing. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is single to his glory. There's nothing covered that shall not be made revealed. Nothing covered that shall not be made known. And so, God that searcheth the hearts knows what's in the mind of the Spirit because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Beautiful. I'm glad that I have an intercessor, aren't you? Someone who's telling God what I don't really know how to tell him. That's beautiful in my mind. So he prays for us. Now we're coming around here to Ephesians 4. Oh, excuse me, this is another passage. You see, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, he seals two passages. It talks about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, seals us until the day that, let's see, one, let me give it to you here. Here it is. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. Which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of the glory of God. Until Jesus comes for us, the Holy Spirit is keeping us. It's a stamp. It's a seal. Irrevocable. Keeping us until he comes. Beautiful. Seals. Can you still pick this up over here? Do you need me? All right. Empowered. Uh-oh. 2 Timothy 1, 7. He empowered. God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a disciplined mind. All of us have a disciplined mind through the Spirit, if we'll exercise it. But if we don't let the Holy Spirit operate in our life, we're going to let the old nature, and you know the old nature is not too disciplined many times. Then I like this one. I like this one. 1 Corinthians 2:10, he reveals. And this is what it says. 9 says, I hath not seen, neither ear heard, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God, and there's another but God. But God, listen to this. But I hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Many, many things are in store for us as believers. Some of them we'll never get to because we really don't tap the resources. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth the deep things of God, yea, searcheth all things. And so I pray constantly in my own study, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal more of the deep things. That's a constant prayer of mine, deeper things of God. This Bible is a book that will never be thoroughly fathomed. It's so full, but we can continually reap from it. And so he reveals the deep things of God. Then a couple more, and then we're going to get more into the text where you get involved a little bit. Galatians 5. 22 and 23, and all of you are familiar with that. The fruit of the Spirit, it's quality of life. It's a quality of life. Quality of life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. In the NIV, I don't know about, Mark, is it self-control in RSV?
Self-control.
Friends, if we didn't enjoy anything more from the Holy Spirit than self-control, it would be worth it all. This old nature of ours has one desire, fulfill the lust of the flesh. The new nature has one desire, to please God. This Holy Spirit living within us, he will help us control the old nature and all of its desires if we'll just let the Holy Spirit take over more and more of our life. Then one more. And that's 2 Corinthians 3:18. He transforms. Transforms. But we all with open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. We're made more like Jesus Christ day by day as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Transforms, makes us more like Christ. And it, just the fruit of the Spirit would make us more like Him, wouldn't it? The fruit of the Spirit would make us more like Him, just allowing His fruit to be operative in our life day by day. Well, so much for that. Now, the hand. This time we're starting with the thumb. With a little other hand, we started with the little finger, or grasping the Bible. This time we're starting with the thumb. And this is, a homey illustration. We could talk about possibly qualifications for a good worker, counselor, whatever, and we could come up with every one of these statements that we're going to put in a place of the thumb or fingers. But I thought, well, I like illustrations, and so what better than having a grasp on God's hand and letting Him have a grasp on our life? And don't write it down yet, but this time we're going to start with the sovereignty of God working through our life, through the power of the Holy Spirit, using Scripture, and it's all by faith. And so we start then and with the thumb this time. And as I said the other day, in our first hand we had, I don't know what to say, this one is power to say it. And a great deal of emphasis this time is going to be on the Holy Spirit. So, over the word Jeremiah, just write the word sovereignty. Sovereignty. Sovereignty, you know, is God's sovereignty. He works things out for us. He's all-knowing, all-powerful everywhere. He's the one who works things out for us. In the case of Philip and the Ethiopian nobleman, He brought them together in a beautiful way. Sovereignty. You have a verse there across the page, and I want us to look at it for a moment. And I want you to read it with me out loud. We're beginning with... Remember, God said to Jeremiah, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to go and speak to some people. This was his response. Start with, ah, please. Pick it up with me. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said unto me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Stop. Circle the word go. Go. And underline to everyone I send you. You must go to everyone I send you. And then circle say and underline whatever I command you. Circle, go and say. And I believe that this is a biblical principle. Let God lead where you go and what you say. And we're going to show you how that works more and more as we get into this. But you might say, hey, Charlie, Mr. Riggs, whatever you want to call me, this is an Old Testament verse and it's written to Jeremiah. Well, I'll remind you of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And more than that, Romans 15:4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Put them down if you like there. Romans 15:4 and 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Scriptures, whether old or new, are given to us to teach us. Do you agree with that? And I've learned so many wonderful lessons from the great men and women of the Old Testament. Tremendous lesson. So I think that's a principle. Go where I command you, and go where I send you, and say what I command you to say. And so let God lead where you go and what you say. Now pick it up with, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Underline, I am with you. I am with you. Everywhere we go, God goes with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. The King James says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. And I'll tell you what, I shared how I had a hard time expressing myself, and yet many times I was called to say things. And when I was an officer in the Army, they expected an officer to know everything, you know. And boy, I was asked to pop up here and say something, pop up there and say something. I had an awful time. And I'll tell you what, I would go on my knees and say, Lord, help me not to be afraid of their faces. You said you'd be with me to deliver me. And I tell you what, I had a lot of struggles going up, but you know, you learn to do by doing, Yako. You get over your head, and who do you look to? God. And he's the one I've had to look to through the years and to this very day. And it's a wonderful place to be where everything you do, you need God to help you do it. And that really brings God down into the life. He says, I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then pick it up with then. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. Now that's a good place to do to an. How many of you speak at least occasionally? Lift your hand. You speak. You talk to it. You give messages. Have you experienced very much the Holy Spirit coming on and helping you? Have you? Doesn't that make a difference? Then the Lord reached forth his hand and touched my mouth and said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Now I'm going to show you how that works, friends. Right up at the tip of the finger at the margin of your page there, just like this. Right up at the tip. I want you to put that passage that we put up earlier, put John 14:26. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Okay. This verse again, but the counselor. Oh, but the counselor. I see. I'm messing it up here. Okay. All right. We needed that on the tape anyway, didn't we? That little pulling it over. Okay. And I need to get a little more room on here, too. Okay. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall write down the word teach you all things. He'll teach you. And bring to your memory, your remembrance, all the things that I've spoken. So he teaches and he reminds. Reminds. What a beautiful picture. Not only will the teacher, the Holy Spirit, bring things out to us, but remind us of them. We have a tutor every time we sit down with a book. The Holy Spirit, the counselor, is a tutor, right? And so it's our job, really, to get this book out and experience the Holy Spirit being the tutor, the teacher. Let him teach us and then remind us. And then Matthew 10:20. Yeah, there's another good passage. Who has the NIV here? Could you look it up, Peter, quickly, Daniel, the NIV. Matthew 10:20. This is what it says in the King James. When Jesus was sending out his disciples, he said, you're going to get into pretty hard places, and people aren't going to respond so warmly to what you're saying. But, he said, when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. that what it says in the RSV?
Very similar. It's, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you.
What is it? NIV.
For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you.
Through you. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He puts his word in our mouth and helps us. He teaches us, he reminds us, and he helps us speak. And friends, I can witness this morning to many, many, many years now of this very, and I have been in some very hard places to speak. Other countries where the language problem is a barrier. I went to Russia a year ago in July with the team. We had 4,900 and some odd pastors and leaders, and I had to teach this course through an interpreter. And, my interpreter didn't know me very well. We didn't have very much chance to get together. And I'll tell you what, I was up praying through the night sometime, but I had a beautiful time as the Holy Spirit wonderfully takes over. And so, he speaks. Now, friends, it's not like you got another voice, this is God speaking, you know, and you come on with another voice. Not at all. Same person. Same voice. But with a dynamic that the natural man doesn't have. Now, let me give you a couple of illustrations. Acts 6, verse 10. Stephen was one of the ones chosen to put to work. They were, some of them call them the first deacons in the church. Lay people. And he was speaking to a great large gathering of Pharisees. And it says, if they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke with him. That's what it says. These people didn't believe what he was saying. I mean, they finally killed him. You know, they stoned him. But they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit. The Holy Spirit has a wonderful ability to arrest. That's why when I teach a class or preach, I always pray, God, may the Holy Spirit be the one who does the talking, the teaching, because otherwise your mind are going to be wandering and a lot of other things. You're not really getting. And so what a wonderful provision God has made for us to teach us, remind us, and actually help us say things. Isn't that great, Doris? Isn't that great? Now, example. Acts 4:8. Just put it down. Acts 4:8. I shared this quickly the other day where Peter, one day not too long before this situation, denied Christ and actually gave an oath. I don't know him. Now he's standing before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish rulers, and they said, how did you heal this man that he healed in the third chapter? And it says, Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said, I didn't do it. It was the Jesus Christ in whom you crucified. It was in his name that this man is healed, empowered. And I think I gave you a scripture the other day, is 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. After Samuel anointed Saul, the sixth verse said, the Spirit of God's going to come upon you, and you're going to be turned into another person. Another person. Now that is the privilege of Christian believers who really walk with the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to control their lives. And I want you to put down Hebrews 4:12, because these go hand in hand, the Word and the Spirit. You know what it says, I'm sure. And some of you may want to look it up in the NIV or RSV or whatever it is, but the Word of God is quick and what? Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is living. You Greek scholars, Art was sharing this, what he did, his thesis. It's living. Is that what it is? It's living. Powerful, sharp, any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing asunder the joints and spirit, soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and the attitudes, motives of the heart. It judges. Now, you're sitting here this morning, and I'm watching out, and I don't know what's going on in your mind. Your mind may be a million miles away from here. The only access I have to your mind, really, is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Only access. You can sit here and be in a dream. I pray, and I have prayed for you name by name, that this course will be helpful to you, that you'll learn something from it, that you won't have some attitude that would keep you from picking something up. You're sitting here several hours. I sure wouldn't want to just sit and just pass the time. But what a wonderful arrangement here. The Holy Spirit teaches, reminds, empowers us, gives us a dynamic, helps us say things. When we use the Word of God, Daniel, you are using the sword of the Spirit. You're using the sword of the Spirit. Is that right, Roger? This is the sword of the Spirit. Why not use it? Time and again. So, wonderful sovereign God working daily. Now, how does He work? Let's put it in there, through our life. Through our life. You know, God can do many phenomenal things. And just a few years ago in Oregon, you probably remember reading about Mount St. Helens, 1,400 feet of this giant mountain, 10,000-foot mountain, went boom, up in the air, just lifted. But you know what God loves to do? He loves to take your life and my life and make a trophy out of it. Just enjoys doing that. Look at the scripture across the page, Philippians 2:13. Read it with me. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. It's God who works in you, both to will and to act of His good purpose. God is working in you. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and I'm the present. Just think for a moment. You and I have the living God living in us. Is that right? Is it? We have God living in us. Then you ever ask yourself, well, then why do I act like a devil so much of the time? Why am I so devilish? Because we don't recognize that inner power within us. I want you to add 1 Corinthians 3:16. All of you know what I think. Know you not that your body is the temple of God? Our bodies are God's temple, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, it doesn't say necessarily that God is in you, but don't you know that your body is the temple of God? That's what it says. And the Spirit of God. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Christ is in you, the hope of glory, that Christ might dwell in your heart by faith. So we have all of the Trinity in us, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, to teach us and guide us and empower us day by day in our life. Now, out on the end of the finger, put Matthew 5:16. Our life really is our ministry. Our life is our ministry. Let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So our life really is our ministry. And if God's not doing anything in my life, Frederick, he's not going to be doing very much through it. Do you agree with that? Our life really is our ministry. And put with that 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. This passage in Corinthians says that we are epistles written not with ink or in tablets of stone, but written by God, and we are known and we are read of all men. That's what it says, doesn't it? Known and read of all men. Do you know, Steve, that people are reading you every day? Do you know that? Do you? Do you know that, Roger? You, every one of God, people are reading us every day. And how do we read? That's the question. How do we read? I sure want to make a good... I want people to read something very clearly in my life, and that's what I pray daily. Now, before we go on a break this time, let me share something with you. Down right in this corner of your page where you have a little room, I was reading a book by an Australian pastor one time. The title of the book was I Hate Witnessing. I Hate Witnessing. That was the title of it. And he said for years he was a frustrated witness. He said, oh, I tried this and I tried that. Then I got to realizing one day I don't have to try to witness. I am a witness. Whether it's good or bad, I am a witness. That's what this verse says. We're epistles, known and read of all men. He said, as I began to surrender to the Lord and say, well, you take over. I want to do what I can to get ready. You take over. He said, it wasn't too long after that. I was on a plane. There weren't too many passengers on it. I had a big book, and I do this quite often myself. It had a lot of big cover on it about Christ or Bible or whatever. I was reading, and I put it on my lap, and the man got up to go to the restroom, came back and looked, and he stopped. He said, what's the book you're reading? He said, it's a book about Christian living and so on. He said, I had a wonderful time. He didn't say he led the guy to Christ, but just like that, he was able to sow some seeds. He said, that happened again and again with me. I do it all the time. Just fly with. I have something out there that they can look at. And I always ask people. I always ask people. I tell them, what do you do? I ask them, what do you do? Well, I do this. I'm a chemist or I'm whatever. And what do you do? Well, that gives me a good opportunity then to tell them I work with Billy Graham. And as I said the other day, sometimes that opens the door and sometimes it closes it. But I would say that 9 times out of 10, I have a wonderful opportunity to tell them what I do for Billy Graham, which means I can pull out literature and leave literature with him, because that's what we're doing, you see. Well, he, in about the 3rd or 4th chapter, I Hate Witnessing, he quotes a man by the name of Moravian. I don't know who he is. He's a communication specialist. Moravian says this: effective communication. Write it down. 7%. The words we speak represent only 7% of the impact, whether it's teaching, preaching, or whatever. 7%. Am I on your way, Yako? Can you see that?
Yeah, I can see.
Okay. 7%. Now, look at this. 38% tone of voice. Tone of voice. Now, you say, well, what do you mean tone of voice? Do you know, our tone of voice can communicate concern, compassion, caring, conviction, humility, authenticity, and that's what he went into. It's really, and I want you to put a passage down with that, Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Tone of voice, authenticity, sincerity. I was sharing in a school of evangelism in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And I shared in this class that I had about, I gave them this particular subject, I'm doing here now. And I told him about Dr. Charles E. Fuller. How many of you know that name, Charles E. Fuller? A great man of God of years gone by. He established Fuller Seminary. When I began to grow in the Lord, I was 3,000 miles away in Olean, New York. He was out in the Gulf and the Pacific Coast. I would get out of church at night, get in my car, and tune into the old-fashioned revival hour. Half-hour program, and I'd sit and weep.